All right, my friends, thanks for tuning into the podcast, where, as always, we'll discuss the professional literature and the evidence-based protocol as they relate to the effective treatment of clinically significant anxiety symptoms. I'm Chris Lines, licensed psychotherapist and OCD spectrum disorders treatment specialist, and this, well, this is OCD Straight Talk.
And different therapists will start cases in different ways, right? And I guess maybe everybody's got their own style or whatever it is. But my therapist at the time was like, what stresses you out, right? And so I was like, okay. So I started talking. And I'd never really been in therapy to that point. So I was like, well, so I started talking about the things that were stressing me out at the time. I mentioned a couple of relationships, and in the process of talking through it, I gave him, some history on some of those relationships. Undoubtedly, like explain why these were stressful relationships, like what was making them difficult, right? And one of the things that he said back. Now, remember, this is like 15 years ago. Right. But one of the things that he said back that sticks with me to this day is he said, sounds like you've been hurt by a lot of men. Right? And that was one of those moments in therapy that changed my life. Right. I don't quite know why that it was so profoundly impactful to feel. I don't know. Maybe it was something about being heard by a man. And feeling understood by a man, you know, I'd never really had that experience before. You know, a man heard me and validated my feelings, and gave voice to some experiences that I didn't really articulate myself, right? And it was profound. It was really deeply touching to feel that safety and that the comfort of being known and understood and accepted, particularly in the context and the presence of a man. And as our work unfolded over the coming weeks, there ended up being some confrontation that I needed to do. And so we talked through it and I agreed. In any case, I ended up having a couple of conversations with two men in my life. And both of them were very difficult conversations to have. They were both difficult. And in both of those instances, I said something along the lines of, you did this or that in the past. You hurt me and you were wrong for doing that. There was something that was profound about the experience of saying it. The act of speaking those words to the individuals who had wronged me had a profound impact on me, right? You might say, well, I was communicating something to them, and that's true, but on a much deeper level, I was communicating something to me, and that something was, I'm powerful, I'm strong, I'm stronger than my fear, I'm capable of confronting him. I'm capable of confronting him and expressing my displeasure. I'm capable of confronting him and expressing my expectation. And I remember that in both of those circumstances, I walked away feeling really powerful, not just proud of myself, but powerful, right? And I had done tons of thinking for years about how I wished that this person or that person wouldn't talk to me like this or wouldn't treat me that way. Years and years of ruminating on conversations and behavioral patterns. Years of remembering sequences of events and the way that I felt in this or that circumstance, right? Trying to talk myself out of my thoughts and feelings about being weak and impotent. But there was something about confronting, expressing thoughts and feelings, expectations in real time to individuals who had perpetrated pain in my life that profoundly, deeply affected me, right? And it kind of goes back to that old phrase, it's easier to act yourself into a new way of thinking than it is to think yourself into a new way of acting. Right? And this is one of those things that it's widely applicable. It's not just one of those things that you can point to certain studies relative to the effective treatment of OCD and say, well, you know what? If you stop your compulsions, you're going to make progress. And certainly there's no shortage of studies that say exactly that. But there's also studies that talk about the importance of activating behavior relative to the treatment of depression. Right? I mean, there's studies that highlight the importance of exposure therapy relative to the reduction of clinically significant anxiety. In the case, say, for example, of specific phobia or panic disorder. There's studies that talk about the importance of behavior change relative to low self-esteem. You know, this is one of those things that is vastly and widely applicable, that it's easier to act yourself into a new way of thinking than it is to think yourself into a new way of acting. It's that, like, that concept of like faking it until you make it. Like, I definitely thought of myself as this weakling kid as I was having big boy conversations with men who had perpetrated pain in my life. You know, and I don't mean to point to myself as some kind of example for anybody else to follow. I'm just saying there was real truth to that. Fake it until you make it, right? Act yourself into a new way of thinking. That there was something to opening my mouth and speaking words of confrontation, knowing that this is going to be hard. Right, this is going to feel uncomfortable. I'm going to be anxious. This might not go well. I'm a weakling. I can't handle this. But deciding I'm going to do it anyway. Because I deserve to feel heard. Because I don't deserve to be treated like this. Because the last word isn't going to be the one that he spoke 10 years ago. Because the last word isn't going to be the thing that he did to me. No, I deserve to be heard. I deserve to feel powerful. And I'll feel powerful when I act powerful. So I faked it until I made it. And the cognitive model comes in here too. And the cognitive model says, well, thoughts elicit feelings, and thoughts and feelings shape behavioral choices. And behavioral choices that are born out of thoughts and feelings go on to forge behavioral patterns, that is to say, habits, right? And those behavioral patterns reinforce the thoughts and feelings that we have in the situations that we face, right? And so the question becomes, where do you have control? And you can say, well, I'm going to ruminate myself out of certain thoughts. I'm going to work to restructure certain beliefs in my mind. And that's fine. And there is some place for that. And I'm not saying there isn't. But I am saying for a lot of people, man, it's easier to act yourself into a new way of thinking, which means that when you're acting initially, you're not in a new way of thinking. You're in an old way of thinking. But you're acting in such a way that is not in keeping with the way that you think and feel in the situations that you're facing. Right? So hear that. What's being said is that the thoughts and the feelings are incongruent with the behavioral choices that you're making. And make no mistake, the thoughts, feelings, and behaviors, they want to be in alignment with each other. They want to be congruent. And so for you to create change here, you grab a hold of that which you can control, your choice. You make an incongruent choice. And over the course of repeated choice changes, you forge a new pattern. And that pattern reinforces not the old way of thinking and feeling, but a new way of thinking and feeling. That's the idea of it's easier to act yourself into a new way of thinking than it is to think yourself into a new way of acting. The whole concept of it says, I'm going to act like I'm powerful. I'm going to act like I'm strong. I'm going to act like I'm calm. I'm going to act like I'm happy and at peace. And over the course of time, the behavioral choices lead the way and the thoughts and feelings follow the leadership of the behavioral patterns. This is one of those things that if you can really get a hold of this idea, it is profoundly impacting, not just in the sense of I can beat my OCD, not just in the sense of my anxiety-related disorder is not happening to me, but I'm happening to my anxiety-related disorder. Like there's real truth and power to this idea in the context of anxiety, yeah. But there's real truth and power to this idea relative to lots and lots of conditions and problems that people commonly face. We have control. We have power. And it's easier for us to act ourselves into a new way of thinking than it is for us to think ourselves into a new way of acting. Well, that's it for another episode of OCD Straight Talk. Feel free to reach out with any questions you might have to chrislines04@gmail.com. If you found the podcast helpful, consider giving it a 5-star rating or subscribing to OCD Straight Talk for structured help with your anxiety or OCD symptoms.